Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to boy D. Late. It's your boy, Mike Jordan Ellis. The DR show,
okay, it's all things sports.
ATS.
Okay, it's all things sports.
ATS.
Tuesdays at 5:30.
Yeah.
Big Mike and C. Miller.
Yeah.
Got all your latest sports talk.
Yeah.
It's about to be a thrill. Okay, it's all things sports.
ATS.
Okay, it's all things sports.
ATS.
Tuesdays at 5:30.
Yeah.
Big Mike and C. Miller.
Yeah.
Got all your latest sports talk.
Yeah.
It's about to be a thrill.
Okay.
What's up with them Seahawks?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back this week once again. Big Mike, C. Miller, All Things Sports. We're only going to do an hour this week, so we're going to make it a good hour. Talk about the Final Four, or not Final Four, but the first two weekends of March Madness. We're going to get into a little NFL free agency if possible, and then we'll call it a day. Miller.
What's going on?
I know you have a lot to say. We talked about our challenge a few weeks ago. We haven't talked about it since. I was thoroughly humiliated, so here's your opportunity. Do you want to gloat first or do you want to gloat later?
I want to do a little now and then do a little later. It was pretty much smashed you. I mean, 21 wins out of 35 games. Had you been on top of your A game, you wouldn't have beat me. That's the hard part. So even though you had a bad little run, you know, you didn't measure up to your own standards, you wouldn't have beat me anyway, so you can at least keep knowing that.
I will say this. I'll ask you a question before we go to break. You've been around me a lot. We've been to Vegas a few times. You know, we have our little challenges in the past. In any sport, have I ever really picked that bad? Have I picked that bad before in any sport?
You made some tactical errors. I haven't really seen you pick that bad. If you want me to break it down for you, you made some mistakes by not picking games early.
Right.
I mean, there was some strategy to it. And then once you fell behind, once you knew you were behind, I know how it is. It's harder to pick. I mean, when you're free, like for me being ahead, that's all I was able to be good down the stretch. I could just look real quick, put them in, not breaking the game down. I'm not. And really, that's the key to betting sports is to not overthink. That goes back to our Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. The more you think about something, the more pressure that you feel, the more gun-shy you are. You're going to go with something that you think is a lock, a so-called lock, and that's never the case. And I think you got, basically, you have Peyton Manning syndrome.
I will say this, no excuses. For this year, 2014, I bow to your superior college basketball knowledge.
Yeah. Are you planning to pay with check or money order, or is that something we should discuss off air?
Well, we'll discuss that off air. It'll probably be a cash deal. Hopefully, me and Mr. Miller are taking our talents to Las Vegas. Hopefully, I'll win enough money to where I can actually pay this guy.
Let me ask you this. I think it's going to be a great weekend. I'm going to win some money at the tables and on the sportsbook. But
my plan is to double my money. I'm trying to double up this week. So.
Let me ask you this: Do you see yourself challenging me again in the future, or do you think as it's pretty much?
Oh yeah. I might make the stakes a little bit lower until I get my confidence back, but I'm not shook.
Ladies and gentlemen, you hear him? He's shook. I might lower the bet down a little bit.
That might be a sign that I'm shook, but I'm not shook. I'm not giving up. We'll have to come up with some kind of baseball challenge we could do, and maybe I could recoup some of my money here.
Got him. Yeah, no, we'll definitely get a baseball challenge going.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, real quick break. Like I said, we're only doing an hour this week, and then we'll come back, and we'll help you with your brackets as much as we can on all things sports.
But listen to these public service announcements first.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. Don't make me come back there. Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. Don't make me come back there. Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back on All Things Sports. We're going to start off by breaking into this bracket. We're going to start off in the South. Florida is the number one seed in the South. South looks pretty. We've got some tough teams in the South. Let's break down the South, Chris Miller. First of all,
that's bracketologist Chris Miller. I don't even need a bracket in front of me. I kind of know where I'm going in that region. Florida, of course, that's your chalk. You got UCLA, a team super hot. I like UCLA. I think they're going to – I'm hoping, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to get it, I'm hoping for a Florida-UCLA matchup. I think that'll be a fun one to bet, a fun one to watch. A team that – both teams are loaded with guards. So that ought to be good. What do you got? You got any surprise teams you think are coming in? You got Stephen F. Austin's in that bracket, correct?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people – taking Stephen F. Austin to go pretty deep. Or actually, I heard last night on the radio some people, a guy taking Stephen F. Austin to beat UCLA.
I've seen Stephen F. Austin play early in the year. I didn't really know, I didn't think much of it at the time, but they were impressive. That's a good squad. So I think Stephen F. Austin, if you're looking for an upset in that bracket, is a good upset. It's one I took on my bracket. Who's the two seed in that bracket?
The two seed is Kansas.
Kansas, I think people are overlooking Kansas. I don't know what you think, but they're kind of quietly riding into the. A lot of attention has been taken away because Embiid's hurt, and they didn't win the Big 12 tournament. But I think that's a good team. That's a team that's been there all year. They played the toughest schedule in college basketball, and I think if people are sleeping on Kansas, I think they're making a mistake. New Mexico's in there, and I've seen quite a depending on who you talk to, I am, or I'm not running an office pool. And a lot of the brackets I'm seeing coming in, New Mexico seems to be a popular upset. I've been on New Mexico all year, but for me, Kansas is a bad matchup. I think, a lot of people have talked about Louisville getting through the shaft with the seeding thing. I think New Mexico got the shaft. You beat San Diego State 2 out of 3 times, and they get a 4 seed, and
you get a
7 seed.
Yeah.
What sense does that make?
Good point.
And then you get Kansas in the second round, so... I do think New Mexico is going to win a game, and I think if Kansas don't have their ducks in a row, they could lose. But I like Kansas to march out there. So really, when it's all said and done, I kind of have chalk. Is Syracuse is a 3 there?
Syracuse is a 3, yeah.
Syracuse is a 3. They've been playing so bad, it's hard to put a lot of confidence in them. Jimmy Boeheim, he's made runs before, and he's had first round exit. So. For me, I got Syracuse winning 1, and then I got them losing in the second round to the Ohio Dayton winner. So For me, I'll just take it all the way through. I got UCLA coming out of that bracket. I think they upset Florida. And actually, in the bracket I turned in, I took Kansas, but I think Kansas UCLA is going to be a nice little matchup. And I got either one of those marching on. Honestly, well, of course, as the show goes on, as we do our shows in the future week, I'll get you a solid UCLA Kansas winner. But right now, I'm going to say UCLA just off the top of my head.
All right, so
Big Mike, break it down. What you got?
I'm not as big on UCLA as you are. I do like their talent. I just, I think Florida with all that depth and all those seniors, I think they're gonna not cruise through that bracket. They'll have some tough games, but I just think they probably have a better team in that bracket. I can't see enough that I've actually seen Western Michigan play. I can't make a case for them potentially beating Syracuse, but I don't think it'll happen. New Mexico will win a game. I think they'll lose to Kansas. I pretty much have chalk in that bracket. I got I can see Final Four with Florida, UCLA, Syracuse, and Kansas. And I think that I like Florida and Kansas. Especially if MB's back, they say MB won't play the first 2 weeks. If MB's back by the Sweet 16, I think that team will possibly even beat Florida if MB tells them.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to say, but Kansas is actually a sleeper in that bracket.
Okay. So, all right, moving on to the East. Virginia is the number one seed in the East. Villanova's the two. What do you got for that one?
Well, first of all, I think Nova sucks. I mean, I've seen them play, and I haven't watched them a lot, so, I could be wrong. But I watched the Big East tournament, and I happened to watch a game they lost, so maybe that's why I'm a little jaded. But I've seen them in the regular season, too, and they put up a great record. They won all year. I didn't probably see them the first 18 games they played. I mean, I started paying attention down the stretch, but I don't see them getting far. I think St. Joe's is good. I got St. Joe's beating Villanova. I think they're a hot team. They come off an A-10 tournament win. I think the A-10 is an interesting conference. They had a lot of teams make the tournament, and they kind of beat each other up a little bit. I mean, the good teams, they all kind of split or – I think that's how they were all able to get in. They all beat the lowly teams and then kind of beat each other up and had a lot of splits. So I think the committee had a hard time and then just kind of, for me they put too many teams in. But I think SMU probably should have got in over one of the 8-10 teams. I know a lot of people are saying NC State took that bid, but I do think St. Joe's is one of the class of that league, along with St. Louis and. VCU's got some injuries, so I think, they're going to struggle. And like I said, they drew a tough Stephen F. Austin team. So St. Joe's, sleeper, mark it down. Virginia, number one seed, sleeper, mark it down. Those of you guys that are sports enthusiasts, you've seen ESPN. You've seen that Jay Billis and Dick Vitale. And everybody's on Michigan State. Chuck. Trout, Michigan State. I mean, I'm staying away from Michigan State. I think they're going to make a Sweet 16 run. That's really all I see. I think they can rebuild Colt from the outside. I've seen this a few times. They're good at guard, but I think if you have some athletic wings, they can really guard the outside. I think that puts Michigan State in trouble. I think a UCLA would beat Michigan State by 10 points. But they just beat Michigan, which they have athletic wings, but Nick Stauskas doesn't play defense quite like some of these teams that have better guards. So, Virginia, I think, is a big sleeper. And then you got Iowa State. That's the last team I wanted to get to. There's some ballers on that team. I really like Iowa State. I don't know if I should ruin the surprise, Big Mike, but, I got Iowa State winning the whole thing. So.
Whoa.
Mike hadn't heard that yet. I don't want to give up my winner, but yeah, my bracket is filled out. I got Iowa State winning the whole thing, and Iowa State doesn't have depth. I think that's going to be the one thing that can make me hurt them. But I like them. They kind of do it all. They're a team that they don't shoot the three all that well, and in the tournament sometimes that haunts you. But man, they got kids. They got people getting to the basket all day and with foul trouble and different things. That's my super sleeper. So I see a lot of sleepers in the in this bracket? What you got?
There's a lot of teams in this bracket that I love. I love Virginia. I love the way they defend and the way they guard. Not because of anything I've heard or read. Actually, at the start of the year, I loved Michigan State, and then they, had some injuries, and now they're getting healthy again. I don't love UConn, but I like UConn. Boatwright and Napier at guard. Their guard play is, I think, superior. Like, from a guard standpoint, I think they can compete with anybody in this tournament.
Who do you like? UConn, St. Joe's, UConn minus 4.5.
UConn minus 4.5? I think that's going to be a close one, so I guess I'll take the points to go with St. Joe's.
Yeah, St. Joe's is winning that game, but go ahead.
It doesn't really matter, because either way I got whoever wins between UConn and St. Joe's, I got them beating Nova. I'm with you. I don't see it. Like, I've seen Nova play 3 times this year. Two of the games I saw where they lost, I just don't see them being a 2, and I just don't see.
What does Nova do really well?
I just don't see, a really talented player. Like, I kind of heard once a while back when you're talking about the bracket, like, a lot of times you got to look, who's got a player that could play pro ball? Who's got a player who could play, who looks NBA ready or could be an NBA player in the future? I don't see a single NBA player on Nova's team. I just don't see any talent there. And I can see Napier or Boatwright potentially playing, point guard in the NBA at some point. I don't, they might prove me wrong, but I just don't.
Did you know that UConn's leading rebounder is Napier?
Yes.
That might be a problem in the tournament.
He's their leading scorer, rebounder, and assist guy.
That may be a problem when a point guard is your leading rebounder. That might mean you're
No, they don't have any talent inside.
St. Joe's silly. Who's their coach?
Martelli.
Phil Martelli. They're gonna beat Connecticut up. For me, that's one of the games. If you're out there going to Vegas, or if you're myself, I think St. Joe's is a nice little pick in the first round.
No, I could see that. And
I'm excited for that game. That's a good game. I think that'll be a good game to watch.
And as far as upsets goes, I think
you don't have any upsets. You're all chalk.
I think North Carolina's not going to get out of the first round.
Start calling you Big Chalk.
I got Providence beating North Carolina in the first round.
You took North Carolina all year in the picks?
And how did that work out for me?
You're holding grudges. UNC's beating Providence.
You might be right. That's one of those games. I look at both of those games as – well, I should say both of those games. I look at that game as far as bracket goes. It doesn't matter because I don't think either one of those teams can pass Iowa State. So
there's
really
a better first-round game than this bracket, I think. Another one that we haven't mentioned either team is Harvard and Cincinnati.
I was just going to say that next. I could see – I didn't pick Harvard over Cincinnati, but I could definitely see an upset there. Like, that game wouldn't – I wouldn't be shocked if Harvard won that game at all.
I think the only thing holding Harvard back is their coaching.
You don't like Amaker?
I'm not a Tommy Amaker guy, but for the record, I did pick Harvard in my bracket.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not an Amaker guy either.
I don't think he's a good coach, but
he's
X's and O's. He might be able to recruit.
Other than Harvard, he's flamed out everywhere he's been. He was bad at Seton Hall. He was bad at Michigan. And he was bad at Michigan when everyone – else at Michigan before him and after him has been good. Like, you can obviously get talent there.
Well, and John Beilein can coach.
Right.
X's O's, John Beilein can draw it up.
Right. So, all right. So, we're in a little disagreement there. I'm a little bit more on Michigan State than he is. We're both on Iowa State. So, moving on to the Midwest. By far, I would say, would you agree, the toughest region?
The toughest region, that's been all the talk. A lot of people out there thinking Wichita State got a little disrespected, or maybe they kind of stacked the deck against them. But, I think that Louisville game, I would be shocked if them and Louisville didn't match up in the Sweet 16. I think both those teams are exceptionally good. I know there's been a little Kentucky talk. I don't see it. They're young. They're not great. Their guards, good guards, sometimes beat those guys up. I know they just play Florida tough. They're well coached, things like that. But, I'm going to be real surprised if we don't have a Wichita State, Louisville. And once again, it's going to be, if some of these teams can hold in there, there's going to be some good Sweet 16 games this year. So
I don't mind. I know a lot of people are upset. I've read where sports book directors are upset and they want the power taken away from the committee and some different things. I don't mind having a stack. I don't mind having a stack region. I mean, you got to be who you got to put in front of you. That's what makes you a champion. So I like it. They could have probably snuck another one of those teams in the West because we're going to get to the West last, but the West kind of seems brutal to me. Creighton is a 3 seed and
San Diego
I wasn't
State
really impressed with the West.
But. Yeah, San Diego State is a 4. Anyway, we're still in the Midwest.
We digress, yeah. So I think Wichita State and then Louisville match up. I don't think, I'm not even going to talk early round games there. I think they kind of just march on. And then in the bottom half, yeah, you got Duke and Michigan in there. I think a great playing game is going to be Iowa Tennessee, and just, from a gambling standpoint, that game opened up Tennessee -2, I think. It is now Iowa -3.5 for a game to change 5.5 points. Somebody and there was an immediate bet. Somebody dropped $100,000 on at the legal sports book. Somebody dropped $100,000 on Iowa,
right?
And then somebody backed it again with another couple $100,000. So. They've taken, I know this just from the way the numbers work, they've taken huge money on Iowa early. And Tennessee's one of the hottest teams out there. So, you know, as far as an early Tuesday, Wednesday game, that's a good game.
Yeah.
So you put those guys in the Midwest. I think St. Louis is a good team. That's a tough bracket. It'll be fun to watch. But I think UMass is going to get upset. I think the winner of Iowa and Tennessee is going to beat them. And Iowa's a good team. Iowa had a brutal stretch, but they got some players. And, you know, if they get a rat, that's kind of one of those deals where there's a lot of talent, so you start thinking something in-house is going on. But, you know, if they can push that up, I think Iowa can make a little run. And I think Duke's weak. I haven't been impressed by Duke all year. They do have the best player, but that's only going to get them so far.
I'm not impressed by Duke. After you get past Parker and Hood, they really don't have any, I'd say, real talented players. You know, starting with time, they're well coached. And not that I'm saying this. I'll say it. Come starting with time, man, I think Krzyzewski, I think these refs get a little free to him. Like,
what did you think about that little rant he had, too? I mean, even the committee and the media, I mean, did you see his rant about the ACC against the A-10?
I heard about it. I didn't hear what he said.
And then it ended up, they ended up giving the ACC that extra team where, you know, Joe Lunardi, I don't know if they show his percentages. He usually knows the last four and last four.
Right.
And he had North Carolina State out, and they put him in, so. I feel like, do you think his little rant had an effect? I feel like it did.
I feel like he indirectly has an effect on so many things. Like, I know every time he goes in a press conference and he says something, I do think the committee's listening.
Do you think he's a non-member of the committee?
Yeah, I think Duke always gets preferential treatment around this time of year. Like, you can even, I mean, they're probably a solid two, but there's some other things, like, you know.
They're not a two.
I was going to say, you could debate them being a three.
Right, they finished third in their conference and didn't win the tournament, so they're not a two.
You could easily, you know, I could see Louisville being a two instead of them. I could even see, you know, Michigan State being a two instead of them. Like, I think this time of year, and I think you'll see it, you know, I'm not just a hater, I'm a Duke hater, but, like, he's sneaky. He sneaks his little words in. Like, he says little things in press conferences. Like, he'll get the refs on his side before it's over, and you'll see some strange things in the tournament whenever Duke plays.
Yeah, I think just from being around so long, he's brokered himself a lot of power. His words carry a lot of weight. So, what about if I gave you a chalk matchup, Duke Michigan? Who you got?
Michigan.
Based on.
I like the way Michigan can score the basketball. I think they, like you said, they got good wing players. Stauskas is so much better than he was last year. He's actually turned into a good all-around offensive player. You're right, he doesn't defend very well. But I think the talent for talent guys for guys, even though Duke has probably the best player, I think talent-wise, I think Michigan just matches up well. And kind of like you said earlier, not to piggyback on the John Beilein thing, I think – from a coach's standpoint, I think John Beilein can really match up with Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah, he's as good as there is. So now what about from an opposite conspiracy theory? If he is a non-member of the committee, Will they match them with Michigan, Louisville, and Wichita State?
Good point. I mean,
because if I'm Mike Krzyzewski, I don't know that I want to see Michigan that early.
I wouldn't want to see Michigan that early. I even think, you know, not that I think. I think they'll win that Iowa Tennessee matchup. But like you said, Tennessee's hot. I could see with the way Tennessee plays, I could see them matching up well and giving Duke a good game. I think he got a tough draw, but I think the fact that he got a 2 seed is remarkable. And
yeah.
I think he got a 2 seed because he's who he is.
I'm with you there. They are a 3 seed, you're saying, too. I would say against the spread, I like Iowa / Tennessee. Give me the points in that second round matchup.
Right.
Who you got carrying that bracket then?
I got Louisville carrying that bracket actually. I like Wichita State. I actually took Wichita State in a lot of the games that we
Big Chalk
did not count. That's Chalk.
Big Chalk. Louisville?
Yeah.
They're the pseudo number one seed there.
The pseudo number one seed?
Anyway, that's Chalk to me, but it's not like you're picking an upset.
I mean, I'm not picking an upset, but
Vegas says they have the best chance of winning the tournament in that bracket.
Louisville, would you agree that Louisville's the hottest team going in?
In the whole tournament?
Yeah.
No.
Who's hotter?
Florida.
Florida just, I mean, okay.
They may have put it on cruise control, I mean, but they're still hot.
No, I'm not saying they're not hot, but, I mean, Louisville's beating teams by 60 right now.
Yeah, but Louisville's lost. I mean, how many games in a row have they won? They've lost recently.
I think they've won like 7 or 8 in a row, but they've been so dominant in those 7 or 8. You're right. I mean, technically, I guess, was Florida won like 26 in a row, so I guess technically they're more hot. I'm just looking at, you know, Florida had a tough time getting past Kentucky, and Louisville, every game they played.
Playing it for the third time? I mean, shit, I might have a hard time coming up with a game plan.
Come
on,
man. It's the family program, buddy.
Well,
you watch your language.
This is being broadcast on Sirius Satellite Radio, so we're good.
All right. But, no, I like the way Louisville's playing right now, and I think they can keep it up. They're also, you know, well-coached. And I think as much as I don't like to admit this, I think college basketball is one of those sports. In the NBA, I don't think coaching matters. In college basketball, I think coaching matters quite a bit.
You might be right. Now, let me get back to the family program comment. I got to imagine anyone listening to Block Talk Radio sports show, if they took that long to search it and they're listening, I feel like they're a male that's over 25. And
definitely,
I think they can have
they're
a
probably sitting on their couch in their underwear drinking beer listening to fucking, excuse me.
See, look, there you
talk
go.
Talk radio. So.
You can't tell me I'm a family show.
I think you just kind of contaminated the air, I think.
Let's move to the West. You got
all right.
Tupac, you can queue up to bring in the West bracket or anything?
I do not, but
we are so low budget here.
We are very low budget. I have some good stuff planned, but it's all gone to heck.
Big Mike's are, just so you guys out there know, Big Mike's kind of the production of this show. He does he runs all the production, and I kind of just sit here and give you knowledge, and he's slacking on his production over there. We need more bells and whistles.
It was a rough day. It was a rough day. Not that that's any excuse. I need to bring my A game every week. But
come up with excuses.
Anyway. All right. As we said previously, the West is by far the weakest bracket.
The weakest. And I hate to say that because the West is where I reside. But
So without further ado.
Let's hear from you first. All right. Let you break a bracket down. I just broke 3 down.
All right. Well, I'll let that go. But anyway, as far as this bracket, it was kind of tough for me because I was actually trying to find reasons not to advance Arizona because I think, I've said this a few times in past shows, I think that Ashley injury is huge, and I think it's really going to show up in the tournament because they don't really have any depth. They only go 6 deep. Although,
and they don't have any shooting.
And they don't have any shooters. Their free throw shooting is atrocious.
Play great defense.
They do play great defense. So I'll say this. I think they'll get past Oklahoma State, but it wouldn't shock me if Oklahoma State, bowled up and actually won that game. So far as San Diego State is a 4 seed, I could see them losing to New Mexico State, and I could definitely see them losing to Oklahoma.
Ooh, New Mexico State? I kind of like San Diego -7 there.
No, I mean, I got them winning. I just I'm just saying.
You might be right. I mean, there's upsets that there ain't nobody doing a show like this that can predict. I mean,
right.
But that could be one of them. I don't know.
As far as Baylor, I actually got Nebraska beating Baylor. I like Nebraska a lot. I like Baylor a lot, too. I just, you know, as far as the 6-11 matchup and as far as this tournament, you got to have a few upsets. So, you know.
Who does Oklahoma State play?
Gonzaga.
I like the Zags.
Like the Zags?
I know, that don't sound right, but I like them. I think Oklahoma State is the most overrated team from the start of the year to the end of the year.
They're not good.
People are on them still. They're not good. Nope. They were 8-10 in their conference, and they were a lock to get in.
And we talked about this. Their quote-unquote best player is really that good. So,
lottery pick. And then I heard I'm watching ESPN. They're like, they could really make a run. They could be in the Final Four. They play a three-guard offense and blah, 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 perfect for the tournament. They're big. They're horrible. They're not deep.
And
they have a decent – but that's not a good team. So.
And we said this a few weeks ago. We said this a few weeks ago. They might be poorly coached as well. So.
Yeah. Travis Ford he needs to win, so the motivation will be there because he's had some good. He's been able to recruit since he's been there, and I don't know that the recruiting's really panned out. But
for a 7-10 matchup, I think Oregon BYU is going to be a pretty good game. Since this bracket is so bad, I can actually see. I haven't really finished picking this bracket yet, but I can see Wisconsin going all the way through.
Yeah, and I think if you have a Wisconsin matchup with Arizona, Wisconsin's a better Arizona. They're kind of the same team with
better shooters. Yeah.
Yeah. So Arizona. I mean, long story short, Arizona's not coming out of this region. This is a region where we could have somebody that we're not talking about. I don't like Creighton. Maybe they make a run.
They don't defend
at
all.
I don't see it personally. I don't see it, but. I think this bracket, once you get down to the end, and I told you who I like, you know, I think Oklahoma. They're young, so I'm a little wary. They got a tough first round matchup also, but I think if Oklahoma gets through that first round matchup, I got them beating San Diego State, I got them beating Arizona, and then that puts them, you know, with the chance to go to the Final Four, and you never know what can happen. I think if Wisconsin's sitting there waiting for them, that's going to be a tough matchup just because Wisconsin's going to be able to defend them on the perimeter, but. I think somebody crazy is coming out of this one, and maybe one of the teams we haven't mentioned. So thought Oregon may be able to make a run, but Oregon, they're not that good. So
give me a team.
We
both think that it won't be Arizona. It won't be Arizona. So right now, give me a team that no one's talking about that you think can come through this bracket. Oklahoma, is that your team?
I'm saying Oklahoma, but. You know, you got the bracket in front of you. I don't have it in front of me.
Baylor's here. Nebraska's in this region. Creighton, Oregon, BYU. Wisconsin.
Yeah. Somebody.
Any of those.
Baylor, like you said, Nebraska's a tough matchup, but I think Baylor's going to beat Nebraska. And I could see Baylor getting past Wisconsin.
No, I like Baylor. I think they have a lot of talent inside, actually. So I could see Baylor.
They can shoot. They got some kids that can shoot.
Yeah.
So. I wouldn't be surprised to see an all Big 12 final in that region, Baylor, Oklahoma.
All right. But we both agree we don't dig Arizona.
Don't dig them. If they go to the Final Four, I'll do something crazy. I don't know. I don't have anything creative to say. But I just don't see it. If you want a lock, Arizona's not going to the Final Four.
I'm going to say if Arizona goes to the Final Four, I think you should take – 4 shots of fireball for the dome, and then try to do a show.
Done.
All right.
I'm going to do that anyway, but that's neither here nor there.
No.
Do you have fireball in the studio?
I have fireball right now in that cabinet right there.
Well, I'll do it if Arizona goes to the final.
All right. I'm cheering. Let's all get together and cheer for Arizona. I would love to hear that.
Well, you're going to do that anyway with all your little what are they, bear down, all your little, don't you have a bear down chat room or something?
I do not, but I will say this. This is the Arizona house.
I got the vibe.
Yeah, my girlfriend, she went to U of A, and her dad went to U of A, and her mom went to U of A.
Did they graduate?
She actually got her degree at ASU.
There she goes.
Her dad.
Go Devils.
Her dad, I think he got his undergrad for ASU and his law degree. No, his undergrad at U of A, law degree at ASU.
Listen to this, man. He knows his girl's staff. That's what I'm talking about. Now, you bring up an interesting point with that talk that you're doing, that love talk.
Uh-huh,
Arizona State, we didn't mention them, the home team.
We did not.
They match up with Texas.
I had a buddy. He's actually the only person I know that's an ASU basketball season ticket holder.
There are 10 in the city.
Yeah, he
one of them.
Yeah, he's actually not big. Like, you know, he goes every game. He's not big on ASU. He thinks the only way ASU will get out of the first round, like, ASU has to play perfect games. He says to get out of the first round. He's not a Syndic guy. He thinks.
There's talk if he could still get fired even though they made the tournament.
Yeah, he doesn't think they're well coached.
This is just not a basketball school, though. ASU's never been good.
It's odd. You're right. Like, they spiked a little bit when they had Frieder. And, you know, they always, you know, have that year where they spike a little bit. But they can't build a consistent winner, which if you ever, you know, I don't know where you're listening at. If you ever go to Tempe and you go to ASU, you hang out there, I'm almost shocked that they can't get kids to come. Like, it's a good campus. It's a fun campus to be on. And, you know, you're right in the middle. You're right in the hub of a lot of really good stuff. I'm always shocked that they can't recruit well there.
You know why, though, is look at the teams in their conference.
That's true. You can't.
UCLA is a really nice school.
No, you're right. Look at all the campuses just on the West Coast. We talked about
right.
this.
Right, Arizona's just got the tradition. So
Arizona's got tradition.
Basketball school.
Arizona,
they have the fan base.
UCLA's got tradition and a nice campus. San Diego State has a nice campus. Like,
right, so it's tough, I think you can win in football at Arizona State, but I don't know if you can win in basketball. It's tough. And Syndic, they kind of said that. You know, local radio, they're kind of calling for his head. He's got a nice run. He's been here 8 years. All the talk. He's a great guy. Basketball knowledge. But he's just not probably the right guy for this program.
And the biggest problem with ASU, I think, and I've always thought this basketball-wise, and why they do better in football is because there's just not enough homegrown basketball talent in Arizona to recruit locally and be good. You have to, if here in this state, you have to recruit California well, and you have to recruit South Texas and surrounding the states well. Arizona can do that because they have a tradition. ASU doesn't have a tradition, and so.
And most people, if they're balling in California, are going to Stanford and UCLA.
Right,
so.
Right. So, no, it's a tough spot.
You got a name? You got anybody that you would think would maybe be able to win here? I got one for you.
Give it to me.
I think what this job comes down to, and I think all basketball really comes down to, it's recruiting.
Right.
You got to be able to recruit. I think they should make a run at Josh Pastner.
Ah.
A young dude. It's got to be someone young to coach at Arizona State.
He's young.
You can't have a 6-year-old Herb Syndic.
Right. He's
doesn't
young.
Work for the university environment.
No, he's young and he's local. He played at U of A, or he didn't play at U of A, but he's on the team down there.
Didn't he dried off towels and rubbed people's backs.
No, that's actually good.
And I didn't come up with that. I heard that on the local radio out here. But
I don't know if they can get him, though.
You need to get someone in their 30s to come coach this team.
That's a good point, because I've heard some people say, you know, Byron Scott's been around the NBA. Maybe he should, he went to school here. Maybe he should coach here. But
he's too far removed from the situation.
Say, like,
he's a young dude.
I don't think any kid he's recruiting now remember him as a player. So, and he was a good player, but, yeah, I don't think anyone just remembers him as a player. So, yeah, I don't think that's a good hire. Josh Pastner is interesting, though.
I think they should throw a bunch of money at him and tell him to come beat his old alma mater in.
I think they would have to throw a bunch of money at him, and I think that's part of the problem.
I'm sure he's well compensated in Memphis, but and they got that nice arena, but and they got good food there. But that city's – I'd much rather live in Tempe than I would Memphis.
Yeah, I've driven through Memphis. It's not cool.
Yeah.
I don't think he can get him from Memphis, though.
Memphis?
Well, I think just because he's good, he can consistently build a winning team in Memphis. I don't know if he can do that here.
He can consistently build what he built this year in 8th seed.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, there's a lot of this. They're trying to do a lot here. If they paid him a bunch of money and said, you know, go. I think you can. If I'm a kid, like you said, I mean, we just talked all the points of the tough conference and different things, but he can recruit nationally. We'll get kids from the Midwest and show them the sunny weather and build a team.
I think he'll have the same thing Frieder had. I think he'll spike, and then I think it'll level off.
He might be right.
All right.
I'm just trying to hype up ASU fans.
No, I just from a proximity standpoint, I would love to have a good college basketball team here just so I'd have games to go to. But
their team is bad this year. Texas is -2, and off the top of my head, it seems like a mock, but I did do a little bit more research, and Texas defends the perimeter. They're 176th in perimeter defense. I guess they just give the three up. And if ASU can make threes, they could probably stay in the game. So
right.
It's not as easy a game as it looks on paper. I picked Texas in my bracket, but I don't know. I think Vegas has kind of got me a little thrown off on that one because they're saying Texas -2. I feel like that should be Texas -5.5, 6. So
and Jahi Carson, if you're listening, you should probably stay in school.
He's not staying.
He's not. Oh, he's not.
I think he walked on senior night or whatever.
I heard him on the radio saying there was no chance that he was staying.
There's no chance.
I'm just saying,
he wants to get paid. He wanted to get paid last year, but they advised him to go back.
He's not an NBA point guard.
He's not, but he's going to go to the D League. He's going to at least be getting checks. He's not making anything right now.
That's a good point. I mean, you're right. I'll say this. He probably should go just because I can't see him building his stock up much more by staying. Like, he's a second-round pick. This year, he'll be a second-round pick 2 years from now.
Right. The only way you would maybe consider coming back is if you had a bunch of guys around you, because then you can get a lot more exposure.
Right.
You're on a top team. You start getting some accolades where, from all things I've heard and read, ASU basketball next year is going to be brutal.
Yeah. So, yeah, he should probably come out. Aaron Gordon, should he come out?
No.
Julius Randle, should he come out?
From my college basketball fandom says I want him to stay. I think he would benefit from coming back. That one's tough for me. I think he should come back. I think he will go pro.
I think he'll go pro. Wiggins, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone. And he should be.
And he should be. When it's all said and done, he might be the best player.
Well, he might be, and he may be the number one pick, depending on who gets it.
Yeah. Back problems, should Embiid go back?
Embiid should probably go back now.
Yeah.
Scouts love the dude. They're still saying he's the best player. I don't know if he's BSing, but all his comments when anybody talked to him about it, he made it seem like he was leaning towards coming back. I feel like if he personally is talking like that, that was kind of his plan all along.
Right.
Where you talk to somebody like Wiggins and he's already, he's
I think
picking
if
out
he should come back. Try to have an injury free year and just try to ball out and then go. But I heard this argument when you talk about the Greg Oden, the Bill Walton, the 7 foot Yao Ming, the 7 footer argument that once you start having injuries in 7 feet, they don't stop. So the quicker he gets in the league and start making money, the better off he might be.
Greg Oden probably drives a nice car, but.
I guess the argument at 7 feet is like you're going to keep getting injured.
It's tough. If you tell me I'm a top five pick, how do I come back?
Right.
Regardless
right.
of what I think.
I think he should leave. But I told you that. We talked about that.
He's got money, though. He don't come from a poor background.
But we talked about this a few weeks ago. If you're a top five pick, what's the point?
There's not. But what about if you're 7 feet and you just started playing basketball like 5 years ago and you want to develop a little bit?
Don't get me wrong. Another year under Bill Self will be.
See, a lot of these college kids don't. You're going to get all that playing time where you can actually probably build a little bit more. But, Anthony Bennett should have came back.
No question.
But then he was the number one pick.
Right.
So he's cashing checks, but he embarrassed himself. So
he's cashing checks. He's embarrassed himself. And not only that, like.
And killed his confidence.
Yeah, I think. I'm about to say, I've seen him play a few times. He's not a confident player. And I told you this. I think he belongs in the D League. I don't know if they'll do that, but I think he should be down there playing, 30 minutes a night instead of, in Cleveland playing five. It's the only way you get better is by playing. But anyway, we've gone way off topic.
That was good.
All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back.
First, First, I got to ask you, though, before you, Mike loves the commercials. You guys notice that you're getting your PSAs in, but did you see a new rapper started a sports agency?
No. Who?
I'm going to tell you when we get back.
All right. I like it. That's good. We got it. We finally, we're working on our thesis, so we'll be back after these fine PSAs in a minute.
Good morning, students, and welcome to Career Day. I hope you're excited to hear about all the great things you can do when you grow up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I'm super excited to introduce my dad because he's my hero. When I was little, my dad was away a lot, but I was okay with that because he was doing this really important work driving ambulances in Iraq. Now he's at home, which is great for me because I get to see him every day now. And he's still the biggest hero I know because he tells all the ambulances and the fire engines where to go and rescue people when there's an emergency. I'm so proud of him. He's awesome. He's my dad.
If your service-connected disability prevents you from continuing in your civilian career, Voc Rehab offers counseling, training with a living allowance, education, and other services to help prepare you for your next mission.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore, so please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on All Things Sports. Mr. Miller gave us a little tease before the break. We got Jay-Z. Master P had a sports agency that failed miserably for a little while. Who's
make
more to
say? Oh!
And nah. Does anybody remember that? Just us? I got to get that on here. I'm going to get that on here next week.
That whole crew, those guys are, I don't know what they're doing now.
They're probably all locked up. Few of them are locked up.
They fell off, but new sports agency first client Mike Evans, Texas A&M receiver, signed, sealed, delivered.
Good, that's a good first sign. Then whoever it is,
top 10 pick. Welcome, Cash Money Sports, the Birdman. Got a sports agency. If there's pictures out, check them out on the internet. Mike Evans and Birdman kicking it together.
Those guys. I mean, with the exception of a Lil Wayne, no one in that little crew is Juvenile and Manny Fresh. All them guys, what are they doing now?
When you get old, you can't really do all that when you're 40. You know? even Jay-Z had to change his style. He had to kind of smooth it out.
That's true. That's true.
It's hard to bang in. It's hard to bang in your late 40s.
But I'll tell you what. But I will say this: I'm not a huge Cash Money fan, but those guys were printing money in the late 90s, early 2000s.
You got to graduate. They still have all that money.
Yeah,
that's why you got to graduate. That's what Jay-Z's done.
They were practically printing money. You couldn't turn on a radio station without hearing those guys.
They're giving away money in pro sports right now. I mean, pro sports are just through the roof. So, you know, these guys, you know, with, like I said, Jay-Z leading the way, these guys are smart to get in. I mean, that's where the money's at, all the money.
And, you know, all these young athletes nowadays, everyone listens to hip-hop. So if you could get in, you know, like if you got a good business plan and you're, you know, you can kind of wow them with the hip-hop style, the hip-hop clothes, the swag, you could probably get a lot of clients that way.
A lot of clients, right. That's what people run into. What about when you're sitting across from GMs and owners and Are you listening to Birdman if you're those guys?
I mean, it's kind of hard.
Or are you thinking I can swindle Birdman?
I mean, they swindle.
You guys got to know about money.
Well, you got to figure. Remember Master P and the Ricky Williams contract? He got swindled.
A lot of that, though, if you come out here, Ricky demanded a lot of that, though. That was Ricky's weird personality, too. But Ricky may have ruined Master P's career.
That's a good point. As his agent, though, don't you kind of have to rein that in? Like, I guess as an agent, you have to do what the client wants, but oof, that was a bad contract. That was a super bad contract.
No, it wasn't.
And that was his first contract.
He didn't have any money after that because he didn't meet any of those incentives.
No, because he practically walked out of that team. So
Ricky had a lot going on at that time. Ricky, if you ever heard the Ricky story, he was never introduced to weed until he was in college
right.
His senior year, and he loved
it. He fell in love.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, no, that's cool. I actually wish the Birdman success. Back in my early 30s, I used to listen to a lot of Birdman. So, I think if I'm a GM sitting across from him, even though I might mock, his style, he's probably he's got the teardrops under his eyes, he's tatted up. You got to respect his business acumen. They had a good business plan, like with all the rappers he put out and,
Right, he always had his label from the start.
He had his label. I was about to say he was making his own money. He wasn't getting a lot of money to the record companies. You have to, you can't knock his business.
Now, if you did listen to him, you have to. He was selling a lot of cocaine, also.
I've heard that.
But who knows? That might be for the listeners only. I don't know. It's hard, with rap music. Do you really believe everything these guys are saying?
That takes us perfect transition into our next topic. NFL free agencies. A lot of signings out there. I don't really have all the numbers in front of me, but we'll just talk about what signings we think were good, what we think were bad. Any signings that caught your eye, or better question, any team you think really racked up a free agency and did well for themselves?
Well, I think the Broncos made the most noise. I mean, that's where I'd have to start. I think them along with the Browns probably signed the most free agents. But when you really take a look at it, I think the safety Ward went to the Broncos.
Right.
I think that's a good add because they could use some help in the backfield there. DeMarcus Ware, we'll see what he's got left in the tank. I mean, he's only 32, I got to imagine. Playing for a Super Bowl and playing on a good team, that should probably rejuvenate him.
Definitely.
So I like that signing. They lost Wesley Woodyard, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's a tough loss. So, I mean, we'll see. There's always a lot of shakeup. Jacksonville, I think, made some good signings. They got Zane Beatles from the Broncos, who's a great offensive interior guard. So, I don't know. I think free agency is a little bit overrated because I think a lot of times when guys get paid, they stop playing. I mean, you can see, the Cardinals, it's a local team. They had a lot of success. They got a lot of guys on one-year deals. They just kind of, last year, they took what was left, some Dansby's and some John Abraham, Matt Shaughnessy, and got great results from it because those guys were guys that had been paid in the past, and then they weren't getting paid, so now they're hungry again. Well, now, you give these guys money, and I think football works like that a lot. I think there's some resentment. I think, I think sometimes they think, hey, I've already earned this. You're paying me for what I've earned. And then they kind of, sit back and relax again. And so, for me, free agency is wait and see. But definitely the Broncos, definitely the Browns.
Do you like the Dansby signing?
I like the Dansby signing. I think he's still got some. I know he's an older linebacker. They gave him way too much, but I think to bring in any free agent, you have to give him 2 months.
Because you're
right?
the Browns,
I mean,
yeah.
You're not
the Browns,
giving free
yeah.
agents for cheap. And there's some. I heard Detroit. Lamar Woodley was interested in coming to Detroit. He played at Michigan. We told him no. We said you can't even come for a visit. We have no interest. And people like that. He signed with the Raiders for less. I mean. You may find a good deal here and there, with somebody. I think you want to find somebody that's got to want to prove themselves. So I like what the Lions did. We had to get a receiver, and I didn't want to do it through the draft because I think we need some young defensive players. So, as a Lions fan, of course, I kind of watch what they're doing a little bit closer. I like what we did. I think that's that's an addition that I think we had to address in free agency.
Who'd they get?
Golden Tate.
Oh, all right. That's a good number.
He's somebody that's had better numbers every year he's been in the league, and he's really played for an all-run team. So I think he comes and kind of with, you know, the best receiver in the league, you know, he'll be able to kind of play in his shadow and do a lot of, you know, single coverage and some things. So I liked what we did there. A lot of mock drafts have been saying Mike Evans, and, you know, while you'd like to add a first-round talent receiver, for me, you know, the Lions got to go defense. We went offense before, and that hadn't quite worked out. So.
Did Mike Evans run?
Yeah, he ran. He's big. He ran 4.5.
Huge, yeah.
He ran. I think okay. He ran. You know, he didn't run. He's not 4.4, but he ran 4.5.
No, they said with his size, if he ran a 4.5 and below, he'd be in the top 10. So
4.5-3 sticks out in my mind. I've read a lot about him just because the Lions were projected to give him. So.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. I know I've been talking a lot. What about what do you think about the Julius Peppers thing?
I was gonna throw some names at you and then. I think
you guys did a good thing.
I about to say, I keep hearing all these, I've been, you know, online hearing all these Packers fans saying, like, you know, good job, you know, we're, like, as a Bear fan, watching him for the past few years, I wouldn't have paid him. I think the Bears did the right thing by cutting him.
You guys were paying him way too much. You had to cut him.
We were paying him too much, and he's not nearly the player that he was even 2 years ago.
He's a name, right, and that's a lot of these free agents are names.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Once you have that much NFL service time, really you're just a name. And Peppers is good. I mean, he's going to go there and give him 7 sacks, and he's going to, you know, he's going to intercept the pass. But you guys, and I don't know the names of your guys, you guys have signed.
Who signed Lamar?
Who is in free agency?
Lamar Houston was one. I can't think of
it. And you got another one, too.
Yeah, another one.
Those guys are going to be more productive.
Yeah, Lamar Houston is going to be more productive. I actually like that signing a lot. And back to Peppers, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that you're going to see, and you saw these past few years, you're going to see your occasional flashy play. He's going to tip the ball to himself and, you know, run it back for a long way. But for the most part, game to game, he disappears a lot. Like, there's a lot of games where you just never hear his name. And you can't pay that kind of money for a player who's not productive.
Not 20
every
million.
Game. Yeah, so.
And sometimes they lose motivation. I think DeMarcus Ware is going to come out a lot
right.
more motivated. So I'm going to give you some names. You're going to let me know if they're boom or bust in their new city.
All right, kind of this or that, but we'll go with that.
Ben Tate.
With the Browns?
He's been a part-time running back.
I think as the number he's going to be the number one there, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't really spend a lot of money to get him. Yeah, I think that's a good signing.
Josh McCown.
Did they give him the start?
He's a starter there, right? They paid him that's not backup money they paid him. It's not high price. They gave him like 6+ a year.
What? They got Glennon, right?
Yeah.
They're not gonna bench Glennon, are they?
I don't know. Do you pay someone $12 million for 2 years to sit on your bench?
No.
I mean, Glennon's making $350,000 probably.
Then I think that's a bad sign. If you got him to start, I think that's a bad sign.
Lovie Smith don't have no he don't have no ties to Mike Glennon.
I'll say this.
Doesn't he want to win now?
Yeah, I'll say this.
Want to develop a quarterback?
I like Josh. Don't misunderstand me. I like Josh. I think he's a good backup. I think he's the kind of guy who can come in and keep your offense moving. But as a starter, I mean, he's had good moments here in Arizona as a starter. I just don't know if I would want him. I mean, I guess if you don't want to draft a quarterback and his, I'll say this, he was the best quarterback they could get in free agency, but no, I don't think that's a good sign.
Didn't he throw 12 touchdowns to 1 interception for the Bears last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I'm not going to argue with you.
And as soon as Cutler was healthy, they went right back to him.
Well,
and there's a reason
to.
For that. He's a backup.
Was there a reason for that?
I know everyone was calling for McCown to play, but, like, let's face it.
Cutler makes the money, so he's playing.
Yeah. And there's a reason why Cutler makes the money. He's more talented than McCown. He is.
Gives the ball away a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know,
McCown looked good in that.
You know, I'm not. Well, let me talk. You know,
our freshman offense.
You know, I'm not a Cutler lover, and I'm just saying that McCown's 35. He's never been a starter consistently. That's a lot of money to pay a guy to come in and start for your team. There's never been a starter, and he's already 35. That's all I'm saying.
All right, I'm hearing you.
Do you agree or disagree?
I want to move on to the next free agent.
All right.
Toby Gerhart.
I think that's a good sign for Jacksonville, actually. And the reason is, I don't know if he could be a feature back, but, like, you know, considering they don't have, well, they let Jones-Drew walk, and they don't have any playmakers, I think he could be a nice little, maybe, I don't know how much money they paid him, but I think he'd be a nice little third down back, maybe a little few short yards back for them. Like, yeah, I like that signing.
1,000-yard season next year?
I think that's a bit much, but I think a good season. I think
he's talented. I'm interested to see. I'm glad that he's going to get a chance to start.
Yeah, I think he's a productive. I think he'll be productive, especially on that team.
I mean, this is an easy one. I'm just curious to what numbers you think he's going to put up. Emmanuel Sanders.
Where did he go?
Do you think he's legit? Denver. He's going to go take. He's going to go take Eric Decker's place.
I think everyone, yeah, I don't know if he's legit. I know his numbers would be better, and his numbers would be better simply because
he got 72 balls last year.
Well, I think anytime you go play with Peyton Manning, if you're willing to put in the work, he's going to catch a lot of balls. He's going to get a lot of balls thrown to him. So, yeah, I think that's a good sign.
How about Eric Decker going to the Jets?
He's going to throw a ball.
Is that a bad move by him?
Not a bad move by him.
Shouldn't he have stayed where he was?
Well, how much money? I mean, he wasn't going to get. He wasn't going to get that kind of money for Denver.
Well, they gave Emmanuel Sanders $21 million. Decker signed for $35 million. I mean, do you feel like the Broncos could have probably met him in the middle, and he had a chance at Super Bowl?
Maybe.
I mean, how much money does he stand like if he wins the Super Bowl?
I'm not a Denver insider, but I've heard that they were going to be done with Decker regardless.
Yeah.
But I'll say this:
he's not worth $35 million. I think he's a bust in that respect.
No, he's not worth $35 million. He might catch 50 balls this year because Geno Smith is his quarterback. Like he's not gonna put up numbers he did in Denver. So you're right. I mean, from that standpoint, you're right. But, I mean, he's the kind of guy, like, he's got to take the money when it's there. Like, he's not going to have another shot at a contract like that.
Here's a double. Does the Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner signings make the Patriots the favorite in the AFC, are you still a Broncos favorite in the AFC?
Good question. I'll say this. The thing I like about those signings is that's New England knowing who their competition is. They know that they're 1-2. Them and Denver are 1-2. Denver throws the ball a lot. We got to get quarters that can cover them. I think both signings were smart. I don't know if I'm sold on Revis as being a shutdown the way Revis has to have a show me year for me to believe he's a shutdown still. But I don't think that puts him. I think the Broncos are still a favorite. What about you?
I don't know. I think that was big. I think those are big signings for the Patriots.
We both agree that nobody else in the AFC needs to really show up this year, right? We both agree we're probably headed for the Broncos Patriots AFC championship.
Yeah, unless Andy Dalton Alex Smith somebody gets a lot better. I can't.
Nah.
I think we got one more year. I think this is do or die for both, and I think they're both. I think they both threw money in like that, and then
yeah.
No,
this is Super Bowl. Both of those teams are all in for the Super Bowl to bust this year.
Yeah, maybe a little resurgence from Pittsburgh. I don't know. What about Steve Smith to Baltimore? Does that help them? Maybe get back in the mix or
no?
Not enough. Yeah, they've lost too much on defense. They got their Super Bowl, and then they've kind of taken a step back.
What's Carolina's plan to receiver?
I don't know. They're obviously going to take one in the first round.
They have to.
Have to.
Because
there's nobody available that's going to make their team better either.
I don't understand. Like, me and you talked about it during the season. Steve Smith would be a good number two now. He's not a number one anymore. And they should go out and get a receiver anyway. But, like, I don't understand – like, now you go in with, like, you say you want to put guys around Cam Newton to make him a better pocket guy, but now you got no receivers?
Well, I think that comes down to what we talked about before, though. I just think some of these veterans that have been huge names and had so much success in the past, and
Ben,
you're right,
if
he's a number two,
you can't have to keep paying
him
number one,
number one money.
Right.
So I do understand it a little bit, but I may have waited to cut him, or, you know, I would have maybe seen who fell to me in the draft.
Right.
Or, you know, but they had to do what they had to do. I don't know the rules with cutting players and how much they probably had to pay out.
Well, because Ginn signed here in Arizona, right?
Who?
Ted Ginn, he signed here, right?
Yeah.
LaFell's a free agent. Like, not that he was good anyway. They don't have a single – they don't even have a number two receiver on their roster right now.
No, I know. I think it's funny you brought Ginn up. I think that's an underrated thing. Larry Fitz has needed someone to play with that could take the top off for a
yeah,
while now.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if Ginn is a decoy out here, I think that's a great signing. I think that'll rejuvenate Larry Fitz. He's needed that for a long time.
I think it rejuvenates Fitz. I think it makes Michael Floyd a better player, too. And I think I don't know if they plan to use him this way, but Arizona could probably get some going in the return game.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk about it too much. We won't sidetrack, but I think just, you know, you're a local guy. You've been here a lot longer than I have. You've seen kind of how putrid this organization has been ran, and Rod Graves was at the top making a lot of personnel calls. The new guy they have in place is good.
I like Steve Kahn, yeah.
He knows the stuff.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Yeah,
they made a good hire there.
Yeah, I agree. I can't think of even like the tackle they just got. I can't think of a bad signing he's had. Even the fact that I like the fact, even though I think I like Dansby, he had a great year. I even like the fact that they didn't overpay to keep him.
Yeah, and once they seen what Brandon Albert was going to get, they said, "Hey, we think Velhier's, if we can get him for that much less, we think Velhier's just as good."
Right.
So, and we'll see. I mean, Velhier's had some injury problems, but when he's been on the field, I mean, you've seen him come back. He came back at the end of the year for the Raiders last year, and that running game took off with Jennings, too. So I agree. I think he can really play. So I'll say this for Cardinal fans. I mean, enjoy it because he's made so many good moves in the last 2 years. I talked about all the free agent signings he made last year. A big organization is going to take notice, and somebody that needs some help may take him away.
Yeah.
Enjoy while you can.
The Cardinals probably need to not this year, obviously, but I think next year they need to gear their team up and try to make a Super Bowl run. I think Carson Palmer is good enough to make a run with, and I think that the defense is already built. Offense is good. I don't know what kind of – now they got Ellington as every down back. I don't know what kind of back he's going to be, but I think they could make a – I think they could make a serious playoff run next year.
Well, and I was going to say, I don't think it's 2 years down the road. I think if you talk to the people inside the organization, this is the year.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
All right.
Meaning I just think that's the way they look at it. I think the clock is ticking with Larry Fitz. I just don't think they have a lot of time to wait around. I think they think this is the year.
I'll say this. I would love to see it just simply because, you know, we were both here when they made the Super Bowl run. You know what that kind of run does to this city and this area, and especially in the year when the Super Bowl is going to be here, I think.
Yeah, it would be nice to, at the very least, see them get to the playoffs.
Right. So
I think it's very possible. They got some nice pieces in place. I mean, they got one of the best corners. You know, they got the lineman they drafted, you know, a guard in the top 10 is not where that is.
Right.
I think the dude was legitimately talented.
He looked really good before he got hurt.
Yeah, and I you've probably seen on TV, I actually went to a couple of their practices, and he's a road grader. He's a big, strong, I mean.
Yeah, he pulls nice.
He's got four, I mean, the way he's built, he looks like he could whoop your ass in a bar fight.
Yeah, he can get out and run in front of running back. I like him a lot. And you're right, the Velhier signing was good, too. So I think Cardinal fans got something to look forward to this year. They're a tough division.
The only thing is that brutal division.
They're a tough division, but I think they're good enough to – are they going through the extra wild card? They mentioned that. They're not though.
No, it's going to be. We're going to have the same thing. But I'll say this: there's not more than one playoff team in the East.
No.
The South. There's not one more than one playoff team in the North.
No.
And then in the South,
you
could argue there is. You could argue that there's three potential.
Right.
But we've seen, I mean, Carolina's kind of there, you know.
Yeah, we don't know
what they're doing.
Do, right.
And then, you know, New Orleans has had some casualties and some trouble there. So they lost a lot of their coaching staff this year.
No, they can get a wild card. I can see the Cardinals getting a wild card.
You could possibly two wild cards come out of the same division.
Yeah, I can
so,
see that.
You never know. It's early. NFL, we can't talk enough about it.
All right.
Well, let's go ahead and give them a quick break, and then let's come back and do our rants, and let's get out of here.
All right, sounds like a plan. We'll be back in about 2 minutes on All Things Sports.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. Be the someone who gives their time. Be the someone who lends an ear. Be the someone who takes a step. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, asking you to join the fight against sexual violence and volunteer in your community. Log on to RAIN.org, that's RAINN.org, to learn how you can be the someone.
This message brought to you by the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network and this station.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on All Things Sports. We've already gone over the hour we planned because there's just too much good stuff to talk about. However, we'll just give you our rants. We never mention the phone number the whole time.
So don't call us. It's a no-call, no-show.
It doesn't matter because
I'm going straight into my rant.
We get whack calls anyway, so it doesn't matter.
We get whack calls. Nobody calls. Nobody has any good sports opinions. Step your game up. Anyways, back to my rant. I'm taking up the whole show today. Mike says I won't shut up, and he's right. I'm going UFC. It's time to talk a little UFC, something we've rarely done or never done on this show.
What?
I'm a John Jones guy. I'm going to put it out there. I don't watch UFC, and I don't care to watch UFC, and I'm not going to become a fan. The only UFC I'm ever watching is if John Jones is fighting. It's something this sport has needed for a long time. First of all, the sport gained its popularity from kind of an everyday man, hey, I can do that, Chuck Liddell's, you know, different people like that of yeah, you know, he's an everyday guy, you know, I'm drawn to that. Well, for a long time, you know, a lot of pure, you know, sports people kind of meet up. They finally get an athlete, a well-tuned athlete, an athlete that could probably be successful in a different sport, somebody that's just been dominant. And he's kind of becoming the bad guy of the sport, and that's kind of what my rant's about. I don't think he should be the bad guy of the sport. This is something the sport's needed for a long time. Someone that's just physically imposing, someone that's an athlete, someone that's quick on their feet, and someone who's dominated. And really what's out there, Mike, I don't know if you're aware, is a lot of people are calling this guy scared right now. His last fight was against a guy named Gustafson. Did you happen to see that?
That one where he broke his foot.
Yeah, and just a brutal fight. The dude really, it was probably supposed to be an easy fight for him.
No, that was Sonnen. He broke his foot. I don't see Gustafson.
Oh, no. You're thinking Anderson Silva. Oh, no.
No, I'm thinking Jones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, this was a recent fight, and
great fight. Five rounds, the dude, I mean, they beat each other up. This dude is just as big and just, he's built just like John Jones, really tall and skinny. Anyways, great fight. Some people thought it could have went either way. Of course, they gave it to the champ. And Jones hasn't fought since then. Gustafson just fought either last week or maybe it's been a couple weeks now. And he, right after the match, he's normally a soft-spoken guy. I think he's from, like, Sweden or Finland or somewhere. And he grabbed the mic and he said, I want my rematch, blah, blah, blah. And anyways, in response to that, Jones said, you fight this guy named Daniel Cormier or however you said. He said, you fight him and I'll fight the winner of that. And all these UFC guys, I can't stand them. All these, number one, the people that are on TV with UFC, and then just the people I'm seeing at bars and out and about that like UFC and watch UFC or, oh, he's scared, you know, he doesn't want to rematch this guy. No, he's the champ. He can call a shot. What are you saying that to Floyd Mayweather? He should be able to call a shot. He's saying, I'll fight the toughest out of you two because it's the number one ranked contender and the number two ranked contender. He's saying, I'll fight the toughest one. You two fight each other first. And I don't think people should have a problem with that. He did take an easy fight. He's got a fight coming up here in a week or two against Glover Teixeira. He's going to tune up and he's going to whoop this dude and then he's going to fight the best of the best. So get off John Jones' back. Don't drive him away from the sport. He's the best thing you guys have had. He's the only thing watchable. I tried to watch UFC about a month ago. They're boring. I don't care to see that crap. The fights suck. I just don't care for it. I want to see an athlete in there. I want to see people doing kicks and knocking people out and smashing people. And these guys hug and wrestle, and the sport's becoming weak. So embrace John Jones. Don't shun him. He's all you got. That's the only time I'm watching. So that's my rant for the day.
He's the only person I watch as well. I'm with you. I mean, we've had this conversation off air. I'll never be a UFC fan either, and it's nothing against the sport. It just doesn't catch my eye at all. And you're right, it's mostly just guys grappling and wrestling and rolling around on the ground. Like, if UFC looked more like a bar fight, I'd probably watch it, but it doesn't. It turns into guys rolling around on the ground. But I digress. I don't really have a rant today, but I will say this. I hear a lot of people ripping the quality of play of college basketball this year, and I do think there are some things that college basketball needs to change. I'll just say I think they should move the three-point line back. I think they should do a 24-second shot clock. I actually think they should make the college game look as much like the NBA game as possible, actually get these kids ready for playing the NBA game. Then maybe the score would go up a little bit, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not really what I'm talking about. A lot of people they've been shutting the quality of play. You're right. This, you know, for all you guys are talking, this isn't like the 90s where you kept players around for 3 years before they left. You're not going to see, you know, Chris Webber at the top of his game or, you know, Christian Laettner and Grant Hills in school for 3 or 4. You're not going to see that anymore. So you're right. The quality of play isn't as good. But the one thing I do like about it is there are at least 6 to 7 teams in the bracket this year that I can make a case for winning it all. And I like that a lot better than years past when you've had one team that was dominant and you knew what your Final Four was going to look like. I don't want to see UNLVs with Johnson and Augman, although that is fun to watch. Those guys were definitely pros, and they were men. They were 21 years old by the time they got there. I think I like it the way it is. I know everyone's looking for ways to change it. Maybe we should change it a little bit. Let's not go overboard. College basketball is great. It's fun to watch. And I think parity in this case is good. And that's my rant for the day. We're going to thank you again. Those of you out there listening, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. If you love it, tell your friends. If you hate it, shit, tell your friends anyway. You got anything we're going to go out on, Mr. Miller?
No, good show, good info. Everybody enjoy the March Madness. The Madness is about to begin. We got playing games going off tonight. And
hopefully by the time you hear our voices again, we'll be a lot richer than we are.
Yeah, set your alarms. If you're on West Coast time like we are, you got games starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. So get ready and enjoy it. Call out of work. Stream it on your computer. Be a part of the tradition because it's a lot of fun, even if you don't like college basketball. You know, and that's another thing. some people don't want to fill out a bracket. I get a kick out of it. I know a few people that'll bet on anything. I'll bet $10 on the flip of a coin, and then they want to tell me, well, I just don't know enough about college basketball, or just get involved. Just enjoy yourselves. Anyways, I'm digressing, but
y'all could still be, have a good time.
Yeah, this is a great time of year. Basically, the little moratorium between the end of the Super Bowl and another good sporting event is basically over. And, just for someone that likes sports, and I'm not saying everyone needs to love sports, but, if you can fill out a bracket and get involved in some way, I think you should do it. I don't think you should shun it because you don't know enough or you haven't watched all season. That's the fun of it. You don't need to watch all season. If you watch your first college basketball game Thursday, you'll be happy you did. So, with that, that's it. Enjoy. And,
all right, we'll see you next week. All Big Sports. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Good, perfect timing. My people are showing up.